The Bible is the written record of divine revelation. It has an internal order and structure that is defined by the covenants. There are six covenants that make up the structure of the history of Revelation. Each covenant is associated with a prophetic figure who served as the primary mediator of the covenant to the people of God: Noah, Abraham, Moses, the tribe of Levi, David, and Jesus. If we do not understand the covenants, we cannot understand the Bible. And we cannot understand the Mass, since the renewal of the covenant by the people of God is the heart of the Eucharistic liturgy. This is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant. The commission of the Holy See for religious relations with Judaism speaks about the unity of the history of Revelation. For the Christian faith, there can only be one single covenant history of God with humanity. Each of the covenants incorporates the previous covenant and interprets it in a new way. For Christians, the new covenant is the definitive interpretation of what was presented by the prophets of the old covenants. Why is divine revelation given in the form of covenants? Divine revelation is always given by taking up a form that exists in human life and making it the vehicle for the communication of revelation. Ultimately, God takes on human life itself in the person of Jesus Christ. Covenants existed in the world of the ancient Near East primarily as instruments of political power. As God takes up the covenant form to communicate divine revelation, we are aware from the beginning that the central question of our relationship with God is a question of power. The covenants are the medium through which humanity comes to understand the source of power from which and through which the universe has emerged. The covenants are the medium through which humanity comes to understand our particular place in the universe as spiritual beings created in the image of God. Humanity is on a collective journey of understanding. The Apostle Paul spoke with the Greek philosophers about this in a dialogue that is remembered in the book of Acts, chapter 17. God made from one the whole human race to dwell on the entire surface of the earth, and he fixed the ordered seasons and the boundaries of their regions so that people might find God, even perhaps grope for him, though indeed he is not far from any one of us. The covenants come into a world in which human beings are already seeking God and have a sense that there is something beyond the visible world. The completed text of the Bible presents a history of the covenants in chronological order that extends from the covenant with Noah to the covenant with Jesus. The covenant with Noah would be dated around 4,500 years ago, during the Bronze Age, when the first cities and urban culture developed. The birth of Jesus was so influential that it came to determine the way we measure historical time. The birth of Jesus was year one in a new chapter for the human race. We used to use the abbreviations BC and AD to divide time into before Christ and time in the year of our Lord, Anno Domini in Latin, time after Christ. Now, in the age of respect for religious diversity, academia uses the abbreviation BCE, before the common era, and CE, the common era, to indicate time before or after the coming of Christ. But the covenants were not written down in this chronological order. Early biblical scholarship assumed that Moses was the author of the first five books of the Old Testament. Now we know that all biblical documents are composed through a process that takes place in community. First, there are oral traditions that are passed down by word of mouth. Then these oral traditions are written down. Then the written traditions are edited into what we know as the books of the Bible. The Holy Spirit works in and through the community to guide the receiving of divine revelation in this process. In our reflections, we will look at the covenants in the order that they were understood and written down. And that way we can see how the insight of the people of God has grown over the centuries. We should not look at the covenants as a timeline in which one covenant succeeds the previous one and replaces it. We should look at the covenants as tiles in a mosaic. As new tiles are added in, the pattern of revelation emerges for us to see. all the elements that we find in the biblical covenants existed before them. Laws, sacrifices, circumcision, all these were part of the cultures of the ancient Near East. Divine revelation adopts them and makes them instruments of new understanding. There are some overarching themes that the covenants convey to us as they guide us in the process of receiving divine revelation. First, the covenants guide us in understanding God as a single personal power ordering the world from within. Humanity began the journey of religious understanding with the perception that behind the powers of nature, there were gods who controlled them. Gods of the sea, gods of storms, gods of natural forms like great trees. Through the covenants, humanity learns to separate the divine from nature. The gods of the ancient world were inaccessible. They did not reveal much about themselves, and they did not associate themselves with a particular people. The God of the Old Testament reveals himself as a personal being who wants to dwell among the people of God in a personal presence. Two phrases occur again and again throughout the history of the covenants. Then you will know that I am Yahweh, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. God reveals his own name to Moses at the start of the history of the covenants. The name is Yahweh, which comes from the Hebrew verb to be or to exist. God is transcendent power of creation, but this power is continually at work in the midst of history. Second, the covenants lead humanity in the understanding of our own unique position in creation as created in the image of God. We have said that covenants were instruments of political power in the ancient world. They were a kind of treaty in which the people, often a people who had been conquered, swore an oath of allegiance to the king. The people recognized their duty to serve the king. What is unique about the biblical covenants is that they are founded on God's own oath of fidelity to the people created in the divine image. We do not exist to serve gods. We exist to serve creation by understanding and developing the order that God has set forth in the creation. Yahweh does not have needs like the other ancient gods. The people of God are chosen by the Lord and given a role as collaborators in his purpose. Ultimately, that purpose is the completion of the creation of a communion of persons reflecting the image of God. Third, the covenants lead humanity in the understanding of the distinctiveness of the power of God from all human powers. Yahweh uniquely allows the people of God to be collaborators in his creative purposes, but human beings are never independent sources of power. We can only be instruments of the creative vision of God. Power in the covenant is exercised through three offices established by God. They are the offices of prophets, priests, and kings. All of these figures existed in the ancient world before the covenants. Within the covenants, they take on a unique form, which is defined in the earliest complete document of the covenant, the book of Deuteronomy, in chapters 17 and 18. The prophets have no power in themselves to understand anything so that they might command a following like a guru or an oracle. Deuteronomy says, "If a prophet presumes to speak in my name an oracle that I have not commanded to be spoken, or if he speaks in the name of other gods, he shall die." Know that even though a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if his oracle is not fulfilled or verified, it is an oracle which the Lord did not speak. That prophet has spoken presumptuously, and you shall have no fear of him. So the words of the prophets accompany the actions of Yahweh and direct the understanding of those actions by the people. The Old Testament prophets do not predict the future. Rather, they announce and explain the consequences of Yahweh's actions. The priests are distinguished by the fact that they can have no inheritance or personal wealth. The covenant priesthood is not a service from which the priests can profit in any way. They are not to be seen by the people as possessing any special powers that can favor one person or another if they are given special gifts. So the priests are totally unlike the ancient priests who made offerings to the gods in order to give the gods what they wanted to earn their favor. The covenant priests exist only to remind the people that Yahweh is present among them and to call them to act in accordance with the special dignity that they have received. The kings are not to be seen as divine figures, as was typical in the ancient world, where kings were often worshipped as gods. Deuteronomy says, "When he is enthroned in his kingdom, the king shall have a copy of this covenant law made from the scroll that is in the custody of the priests. He shall keep it with him and read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. Let him not become estranged from his countrymen through pride, nor turn aside to the right or to the left from these commandments." In addition, the covenant kings, unlike the kings of the ancient world, were not to accumulate instruments of war, and they were not to marry the daughters of kings of other nations in order to build relationships with other kings who might make war against them. Instead, they are to be witnesses of justice to the nations so that the leaders of nations themselves would desire to become part of the covenant. All this is summed up in the great mission statement of the people of God in Deuteronomy chapter 4, which remembers the words of Moses to the people as they prepared to enter the promised land. "I teach you the statutes and decrees as the Lord my God has commanded me, that you may observe them in the land you are entering to occupy. Observe them carefully, for thus you will give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to all the nations, who will hear of all these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord your God is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" So now we turn to examine the covenants and how they lead the people of God in this great mission. Peace be with you.